assembled, they're taken for a ride, taken in his stride.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Mark Perry, an author and historian specializing in military foreign affairs and intelligence analysis. His books include Conceived in Liberty, A Fire in Zion, and most recently, Talking to Terrorists, Why America Must Engage with Its Enemies. He is the recipient of both the 1995 National Jewish Book Award and the prestigious Project Censored Award, and has an article at Foreign Policy, The Entebbe Option, How the U.S. Military Thinks Israel Might Strike Iran. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mark Perry.
Good to be here, Ian. Thank you.
And the three options that you brought out in your article after extensive discussions with a lot of senior U.S. military officers, both current and former, are essentially option one, an Israeli commando raid on Iranian nuclear facilities, option two, a massive bombing campaign, and option three, a decapitation strike against Iranian leadership and its military and intelligence Praetorian Guard. I take it that of these options, none of them are mutually exclusive. They could be, one, two, and three, right?
They could all, that's right. They could all go together. They could have an aerial bombardment with a commando raid and decapitation. And I would add that it doesn't appear to me that any of them will really work. They could all escalate into an all-out regional war. And it seems to me that it's likely that they would all result in the involvement of the United States and probably American casualties.
So given the apparent downside, which should be apparent to both Israel and certainly is apparent to U.S. Military officers, including the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dempsey, who's gone to great pains in public to say the U.S., they want to dissociate themselves from any Israeli action. And the very fact that we're talking about military options as though they're possible and therefore they're no longer secret, would indicate to me that maybe there's a lot of kabuki going on here. This is a shadow play. What's your reading?
Well, I hope that's the case. I hope that this is all a big bluff and that the intention here is to frighten the Iranians into being more forthcoming diplomatically. But so far, at least, it's simply not working. And I think that all that Mr. Netanyahu has done is to frighten the American public and certainly his own public. And the Iranians are dragging their feet at the diplomatic negotiating table. The United States is seemingly not as worried as the Israelis, and it almost looks as if Mr. Netanyahu is trying to insert himself again into the America election. So, to be honest with you, I think we're stuck. Nothing seems to work. Rattling the swords doesn't work. Diplomacy isn't working. On the other hand, I suppose the good news is at least the Iranians are not moving any faster now than they were before towards gaining a nuclear weapon.
Well, I must say that Netanyahu's performance at the United Nations, a lot of people have described as bizarre with that sort of Wile E. Coyote cartoon of the bomb, where he drew the red line with a Pentel pen, and basically said that in the spring Iran's going to cross Netanyahu's red line, which I suppose is another way of saying there'll be war. But what's inherent in what Netanyahu's saying is that he, not the American president, is going to decide whether Americans' blood is going to be shed. I mean, to me, that's beyond chutzpah. He's really crossed the line here. If he thinks that he can decide when Americans shed their blood.
Well, that's how it sounds to the American military, at least to many officers with whom I've spoken. And it does cross a line in the Pentagon. No one has the right to determine when American blood is shed except for the president and senior military commanders. And I would amend that by saying simply the president of the United States and the U.S. Congress. It goes beyond the pale, and it's quite upsetting to military officers to have a Israeli prime minister pounding the table and saying, defend us, defend us, defend us. And not only that, but defend us on our terms and when we say that you should. We are in the midst of, or have been in the midst of, two major conflicts in the Middle East, in Iraq and Afghanistan. Our economy is quite shaky. We spent billions, if not trillions of dollars on these wars. There's no appetite that I can determine in this country, correct me if I'm wrong, for another war in the Middle East. Certainly one that would drag on and drag our economy again down with it. So, I think that there is a growing disdain and discomfort with Israel's ability to do this again and again and again. And I think the American people, if they were to be asked quite bluntly, the vast majority of them would say that they want a diplomatic solution to this problem. They don't want another war in the region.
So would that also apply perhaps in the upcoming debates on Wednesday with Romney and Obama? It's pretty clear that Obama's trying to get us out of wars and Romney's trying to get us into wars.
Well, I think that's you're exactly right. But what I've noticed over the last 48 hours is this slow but certain backing up on the part of Mr. Romney, as he called Netanyahu after his speech at the United Nations, after Netanyahu's speech at the United Nations, but he did a very slow backpedal, congratulated him on his speech, but also to the press afterwards did a little tongue-in-cheek to make fun of Netanyahu's Wile E. Coyote cartoon, saying that it wasn't the result of the best Boston Consulting graphic, to say the least. I think that there's a sense in Israel now that this was a mistake, that this man is not taken seriously. There's a rethinking, I hope, among the Israeli leadership that perhaps they could lower the temperature on this. And Mr. Netanyahu has gone out of his way to say he has no intention of inserting himself in the American campaign. Of course, it's too late for that. He has. But still, I think we're going to see over the next week the lowering of the temperature on the war talk coming out of the Israeli government.
Again, I'm speaking with Mark Perry, an author and historian specializing in military foreign affairs and intelligence analysis. He has an article at Foreign Policy, The Entebbe Option, How the U.S. Military Thinks Israel Might Strike Iran. Now, the U.S. military, CENTCOM, who are in charge of this region, they did a war game back in March dubbed Internal Look, which is about the very scenario that we're talking about. And the results are pretty sobering, aren't they? This has led a lot of generals, including the head of the Joint Chiefs, General Martin Dempsey, to basically go on the record saying that they want no part of a war with Iran.
Well, that's exactly right. My information is that at first, that is to say, a couple years ago now, the naval component of the Central Command was pretty... I don't want to say arrogant, but pretty confident that they would be able to take on the Iranians without too many problems. And when they thought through the premises of a war game, it became very sobering to them. They realized that they were going to have more problems than they thought, and that the Iranians would be able to take out one of their ships, at the very least a destroyer, perhaps more, and that a conflict with the Iranians in the Persian Gulf could be quite costly. And since that initial assessment, and as a result of the war game that you mentioned, Internal Look, which took place 6 months ago, the U.S. military and particularly the U.S. Navy have kind of woken up to the fact that this is going to be, if there's a conflict, it's going to be a pretty tough go. Now, in the immediate aftermath of that war game 6 months ago, General Mattis, the head of CENTCOM, asked for another aircraft carrier. It was denied to him by President Obama, who's very conservative about these things. But he asked for another aircraft carrier because he's going to need it. So, you know, this idea that we can just simply go to war and that it'll be over quickly and that no one's a match for us, we need to discard that idea. If there's a conflict in the Persian Gulf with Iran, it's going to be major, it's going to be prolonged, it's going to be costly. I don't think there's any question we'll win in the end, but it's not going to be easy at all. This isn't going to be Grenada. It's going to be a major conflict and very costly, and it's going to cost American lives, and that's what's giving people like Martin Dempsey real pause.
Well, I think didn't a third aircraft carrier get deployed? I mean, these are huge targets, and if the U.S. were to lose a capital ship like its nuclear-powered aircraft carriers, that would be traumatic, and that talk about a red line.
Yeah, that's right. A third aircraft carrier is on the way. The loss of an aircraft carrier would be catastrophic. And I think that if a war were to come, as one of my military officers, and I quote him in the article, said, all bets are off. We just don't know when a war comes what's going to happen. The Iranians are very dedicated, very well armed. They have good plans. They know what we're going to do. We know what they're going to do. We're well-armed. They're well-armed. They've been planning for this for a long time. We have, too. We shouldn't underestimate them. They're very patriotic. They're very dedicated. This isn't one in and one out. I hate to repeat myself, but it's not Grenada. You know, the Israelis, I think, sometimes act as if this can be done in a day. It can't be done in a day. It would take us 90 days of a sustained bombing campaign to knock down their air force and keep them on the ground and to get to their nuclear sites. And I'm not the one who says this. Every major study that's been done on this says that the only thing we could possibly do would be to interdict their nuclear sites and to postpone their nuclear program by 4 years. We wouldn't be able to end it. So the best hope I think we have is the course that President Obama has set us on, which is the hope for a diplomatic solution and talking to them and being serious about them and keeping the pressure on and bringing them to the table. There isn't really a good military solution here.
Well, just in closing, our previous guest, former CIA officer Robert Baer, was saying he just came back from the Gulf where he's been meeting with high officials there. And he said that what's really going on in this surrogate war between Iran and the Saudis in the Gulf, particularly in Syria, is this fear on the part of the Sunni Arabs in the Gulf that with combining Iraq and Iran's oil, they have the capacity to outproduce the Saudis, and that this is the great fear, that, in other words, our stupid neocons and George Bush and Rice and Rumsfeld and Cheney essentially gave Iraq over at the cost of enormous American blood and treasure to Iran, and that is, though, at the end of the day, this is about oil.
Bob Baer is exactly right. This was unimaginably stupid. What's shocking to me is that we don't talk about it that often. You know, this is recent history. We ought to be able to remember just how badly we screwed this up. We now have, you know, allied a country that we need not have allied with Iran and provided a pool of oil to an enemy of ours. And in the name of what? And now we've got allies of ours, like Saudi Arabia, very worried, and we're in the process of picking a military solution when we ought to be picking a diplomatic solution. And having a country of 6 million people in Israel getting us into a conflict that could sink our economy. I think it's a very dangerous time. Our military believes it's a very dangerous time, and our best choice here is to let diplomacy work. I hope that that's the choice we make.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here, Mark Perry.
Thank you. Thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Mark Perry, an author and historian specializing in military foreign affairs and intelligence analysis. His books include Conceived in Liberty, A Fire in Zion, and most recently, Talking to Terrorists, Why America Must Engage with Its Enemies. He's the recipient of both the 1995 National Jewish Book Award and the prestigious Project Censored Award, and has an article at Foreign Policy, The Entebbe Option, How the U.S. Military Thinks Israel Might Strike Iran. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. And the conversation continues on Facebook / Ian Masters Media. And I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.
The man she loved, standing along the side of the pickup truck. A shot rang out in the night, just when everything seemed right. Another headline written down in America. The guy that lived next door in 305 took the kids to the park and disappeared by